Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Hey folks, you're listening to The Hang, hosted by the Broadway Podcast Network. In this episode, I'm hanging with one of music theater's rising stars, Bradley Jaden. British actor Bradley is quickly making a name for himself as one of the West End's most talented leading men, and, much like myself, he contributes a big part of that to his time in Les Miserables. We talk about our shared love of the show, how we're looking forward to finally working together on Camelot, and how Bradley kept his heart and soul together during the trickiest of times.
Bradley Jaden, welcome to The Hang, live in Soho. Yeah. How are you, brother?
I'm really good. Yeah, it feels bizarre that I'm even here, if I'm honest. But
Well, why is it bizarre?
I don't know, because I reached out to you ages ago and said I was listening to The Hang while I was on the construction site. That's kind of what got me through working when the industry wasn't a thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Every
I know you reached out, but...
Yeah. So I used to listen to it like most days up and just kind of got me through working. So, yeah.
Oh, man, I wish I didn't stop it then. We've been on quite the hiatus.
Yeah, I was like, oh, right, well, I better stop the construction's at work. Yeah.
Well, I hated doing it over FaceTime or, you know, remote platforms. It was driving me insane.
But to be fair, that's what I listened to while I was on the construction site, and so many podcasts had to do that, and you could hear, you know, the audio change and the sound change and the delay, and you could also tell the host the naturalistic side of it kind of disappeared, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like what they wanted to try and achieve, but they had to try and keep their shows and their programs alive, so it must have been difficult for...
Well, the problem is I don't like talking on the phone.
Yeah.
And I certainly don't like FaceTiming, because we're at the peril of internet connections, which I think they're making it worse on purpose.
Yeah.
To somehow make us pay more for better service. I think they're fucking us on that one. So it was just driving me insane. I couldn't... The whole point of things is called The Hang. We weren't hanging anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
So now we can hang, and I'm so glad you're here. I really appreciate you being here. And that man bun, I'm trying to get there.
It's taking a lot of scrunchies.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm hoping to give you some sort of a good effort when it comes to Camelot by the time I get there.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, I'm still challenging my fiance at the moment. We still have hair offs, and you know, she shows me how to properly blow dry it and stuff.
Just so I know how to mitigate my expectations. Yeah. Are you growing it more, or is this it now?
No, do you know what?
Do you cut it?
No, I was told at the beginning of this contract to Les Mis it needed like its ends cut, which I learned about that a little bit. But you can kind of tell that I just put it up and...
So
you know,
from now to Camelot, there's going to be more growth? Is that what I'm hearing?
I mean, unless they cut it, there's a difference. I mean, when I think you're growing your hair, I mean, this is how the hang is going to go for this podcast, growing hair. I think it goes through so many different stages, like a little bob, is that kind of long hair? And then when it gets to nipple length, you're like, now I feel like a Viking.
Yes.
And that's where I feel like I'm at.
I don't have the nipple length.
Yeah. And that's when you're like, oh, I'm part Viking. That's how I feel.
So pre-nipple, what did you feel like?
Kind of like... I'm a lady.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's fine. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with it.
I don't necessarily see a lady when I look in the mirror. I gotta be honest. There's times
I was called a lady a couple of times. Excuse me, miss. Just from behind. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you are pretty. Yeah. I'm not denying that.
The delicate shoulders.
First time I saw you, because this is actually our second time we're actually seeing each other.
Yeah.
First time was on the red line, the central line.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at this guy who was across from me. I'm like, that is one pretty boy. He is good looking.
That was the...
Then you started talking to me. I was like, pretty guy's talking to me.
I was shocked. I think when you're in musical theatre, you always aspire and you always have people that you dream of working with or would like to meet. And, you know, I had always followed your career and kind of thought, oh, I'd love to meet that guy. I'd love to sing with him. And obviously then when I finally made it into the ensemble of Les Mis, I was like, I'm getting close. Like maybe now I could possibly meet. And then I took over from Andreas and then I left. And then I met you while I was playing Fiero. And I was just like, I've got to tell you that I played Andreas. And I was just like, I just had to say, hello. And I remember it was the most awkward conversation, probably like the beginning of this. From nerves
Weren't you thinking, what's this old guy staring at me for?
No, I was just like, wow, that's
with.
Yeah, I need to say hello.
And I'm glad you did.
Yeah, I was thrilled. Yeah, and since then, I mean, we've tried to meet and we've tried to organize having a bit of a sing song, but
we tried to organize.
You're too busy. You're too busy.
Well, and then the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah,
but yeah, I'm fortunate to say. Creatively, I've been busy, but you know, yeah. It sucks for friendships and stuff.
Yeah.
But you don't have a Harley anymore, right?
No, so I had to sell it because of the pandemic, yeah.
Well, that's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it was. It really was. I had a couple of tears that day, yeah.
How long did you have her?
4 years.
Mate.
Yeah, it was really... And it even got me through, you know, working in the pandemic, you know. I mean, my neighbours didn't like it at 4:30 in the morning, getting to the construction site.
I know the feeling. Do you ever think, like... What if I just push it down the road a little bit?
Well, we had this like a Facebook group. I think, you know, a lot of people have Facebook groups for the area that you live in or, you know, the village that you live in. And I kept looking every day thinking someone was going to say, who is that inconsiderate person starting their Harley at 4:30 in the morning? And I wanted to say, well, I've got to keep the roof over my head. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was very sad to lose her.
When I used to come home after Phantom or Valjean in the West End and I'd be riding home on the Harley... be a bit late, so I would get, and obviously the streets were clear at the time, yeah. I'd get enough speed to then
turn it off,
kill it, yeah. And then just coast into my driveway as best I could.
Yeah.
So what was that like working on a construction site when, because at that point, you had been Javert.
I had been, we'd opened the brand new production for, I think it was 3 months.
And what was that special handover that you and Ball did on?
That was, we'd just done the, they called it the All-Star concert.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Was that pre-construction job?
Yeah, that was pre, yeah. And it was, and I was just about to go and open. So I was playing Andreas while he was doing Javert in that concert. And then for the last show, Cameron obviously did his kind of the infamous bringing all the Valjeans on to sing Bring Him Home. But I think Michael Ball then decided that he wanted to have his own infamous moment and we sang the duet of stars, which was, you know, very, very special for me. You know, again, Michael was a guy that I've kind of looked up to and listened to since, you know, when you start musical theatre, your career, Les Mis is always one of those albums that I think everyone picks up. And,
yeah.
You know, he was an incredible leading man and that, I think we all kind of just were in awe of how hard he worked for the company and for the show.
He works his ass off.
I've never met.
With joy, though.
With joy. There is never, even at the times where he, you know, he is extremely tired or, you know, he's run down, he puts it on. He turns up and he's there. And that was inspiring every day to watch. You kind of just like, okay, we can do this.
He's super kind.
Yeah, really, really lovely man.
So I know, and I've, of course, for the obvious and the plethora of reasons why the pandemic was devastating for everyone. But if we can just put all that aside and selfishly just zero in on you, creatively speaking, that must have been heartbreaking, knowing what Les Mis was becoming, the new version, the all-star handover, a lot of hype, a lot of excitement, as there should be for that show.
Yeah, I think, like you say, it was exciting and it was a moment in my career where I was kind of like, wow, okay, this is... You know, I always say to my fiance, I don't know where I've ever wanted. My career, I only ever wanted to be the ensemble of Les Mis, and once I'd done that, I've kind of just
now what?
Ridden the wave, and I've never known where what's coming or what to audition for, or I've kind of just gone, okay, let's go for it, and which has been lovely, but I can categorically say I've never aspired to be famous. I've never aspired to be someone big or people know me. I'm quite introverted and quite quiet as Bradley. Whereas when I get on stage, that's when I kind of, I feel like I can be a bit freer and a bit more alive, which is a weird sensation, but that's the absolute truth. And when that kind of disappeared, you almost just had to go straight into survival mode. And all my friends that I've had since I was like 4 or 5 years old, they're all builders, construction site workers, mechanics, plasterers. And I just knew that they were working. And as soon as I'd spoken to Cameron, he kind of gave wind that it was not going to be open for a year, maybe more.
Wow.
I just was like, okay. So just phoned up my best friend Joe and just was like, I need to get on some work. And he was like, yeah, you can start tomorrow. And I just knew that if I didn't do that, I wasn't, you know, fortunate enough to get any support or anything from the government or anything like that. So, you know, to go from wage to nothing was really difficult, especially when you knew that there wasn't going to be anything to help look after my family, as it were. So, and obviously my fiance was in a job at the same time as well, and her show shut. So it was kind of like, right, let's just do this. And actually it was wonderful. Like, you know, all my friends were there and I got to meet some really, really lovely, kind men who, you know, took me under their wing. And I did some work previous before, I guess, becoming a professional, you know, working with my friend who was a plasterer and working with my friend Joe previous to that. But just that camaraderie and working with all the guys, and, you know, I never want, he kind of said, this is a guy who he actually said, because he doesn't know what my career was like. He was like, this guy's a dancer, which I'm not. But I was taking it. I was like, you know what? He's calling me a dancer. Let's go with it. And so all these guys were like, well, what's he doing here? Picking up cables and, you know, and working the hard nights. But they soon found out that I was a really hard worker. And, you know, I didn't want to step on toes, or I didn't want preferential treatment or anything like that. I just wanted just to keep the roof over my head and work hard. And actually, I think it was good. I think it was really good for me. I think so many times in our industry, we can, you know, seem to feel like we're bigger than other people, or and we're not. If you're a lead, you're no better than an ensemble. If you're a lead, you're no better than someone working on stage crew or anything like that. You're all completely equal. And I think sometimes, not even saying that I was getting to that stage, but I think you just kind of go, it's just a job. It's in terms of, that's just something I love with all my heart, and I would love to do it. But if someone said by chance you can't ever sing, I'd go, you know what, I've had the best time, and now I've got to do something else. So you know, I kind of just kept always hopeful that there would be shows again, and I'll bust my balls to work again. And I kind of just thought it was like almost cleaning the slate clean, and everyone would have that kind of refreshed energy for when it did come back. And so I just worked really, really hard with them and got some new friends, and we kept our house. So that was the main thing, do you know what I mean?
I love that, man. That is such a great attitude to have and a great outlook, because I'm with you on that. We, at the end of the day, we're playing dress up. That's all we're doing, you know, and we love doing it.
I love it with all my heart, and I'll love give it 160%.
Yeah, if we can keep doing it, great.
Exactly. But if someone does say, you know what, you can't do it anymore, I go, you know what, I've played your fair, and that's beyond my wildest dreams. So, yeah, I've done all right.
You're awesome, man. So what were you doing on the site? What kind of job?
So I was basically a Sparky's mate, electrician's handyman. So it was the first couple
were
of...
Were you learning on a job?
Yeah. I mean, the first month was very much like... Or, you know, as they say, if you're in an office, like making the teas, but it wasn't. It was a six-story... office block that we were making, which was bizarre because obviously no one was working in offices anyway, and everyone that was building this kind of said, no one's even going to come and buy this big office. And it was next to the VAR building, actually. So obviously I had to travel from Brighton all the way up to Stockley Park every day, 4 in the morning, get back at 5. And yeah, it was long old days.
Were you taking a hog with that?
I drove it to a certain place and then we all got in the van. All the lads got in the van and we drove up together. And yeah, so it was a big old adventure. And, you know, for the first couple of months, I was, you know, literally just pulling cables and dragging all the ladder and basket and stuff like that. All the stuff that the actual professional electricians have done. Do you know what I mean? They've done that. They've done their years of carrying all that kind of stuff. And then once they could see that I was trustworthy, they started, like, you know, giving me more and more actual work to do and leaving me with some of the electrics and stuff like that. And I'd occasionally do an extra little course just to bump up my qualifications, just so.
Good for you.
Yeah, so it was great. And I even said, you know, to my friend Joe that it would be great to try and do some sort of full qualification throughout while I'm working in this industry, that, you know, even if it was a night course, just to have something, like, it just shows how, you know, vulnerable our business is and how delicate it is, that it could be just taken. And at that point, you know, it was, you know, to go back to that was, I want to make sure that I'd be at the head of the game.
So, is that something you can do while you're...
I'm still definitely looking into it, yeah. But, you know, at the moment...
You're enjoying being Inspector Javert.
Yeah, Labour's just taking its priority and, you know, you've got to give it 160%.
You got to keep those pecs in order. Are you flexing right now? Like, what's happening?
No, I'm not.
What's going on? What's your training regime?
Do you know what? I have a trainer called Josh DaCosta. So that's a little plug for him, actually. And he's been a wonderful, wonderful man, because I will be completely honest, I have no idea about fitness. I lost 8 stone a while, you know, a couple of years ago, and that kind of started my career going.
Slow down.
Mm.
8 stone?
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was the mental shift for you to want to do that, or?
It's a very easy mental shift. So basically, when I graduated, for about 5 years, I couldn't get a West End audition, anything to...
I don't mean to interrupt. You say it's easy, but it's not for a lot of people,
No.
Right?
I couldn't.
But
even,
you got to, it took you, so 5 years?
5 years of just doing anything I could. Like, I mean, I wasn't really working.
So you're 8 stone heavier than you are now?
Yeah, I was just under 19 stone.
Holy shit. How tall were you?
I'm only 5'11".
You're only 5'11 now?
Yeah.
I'm getting shorter. You seem so tall.
It's the man bun.
It's the man bun. And wait, did you say you trained?
So at that point I was, you know, I was just...
So how did you expect to get auditions? Weight aside, trained.
That's the thing. If I'm being honest, all drama school, I didn't start singing until I was 18. So before I was doing lots, and then when I went to drama school, I found alcohol and food, and I was a lover of cheese toasties, and that's kind of, you know, I just put on a lot of weight. And then when about 5 years after that, I got to be understudy of Shrek in the original cast of Shrek musical at Drury Lane.
Wait, how did you get that?
Well, I managed to get an audition, and obviously because they didn't need a fat suit, I was a shoo-in. Do you know what I mean? So I was one step ahead of the game.
Are you trying to be funny?
No.
Okay.
I'm telling you the truth. So I was, you know, I was in there. I didn't have quite the fat suit that everyone else had.
Hang on. So, I want to take something from this that people will be wondering, but how did you get the audition?
I mean, that was my agent at the time.
Oh, you had an agent?
I did get an audition. But
how'd you get an agent?
From my drama school.
Oh, but you did go to drama school?
Yeah,
Did you say this or did I miss this?
No, we just didn't talk about it.
But I asked you, did you train? Like, nah, I didn't
train. I thought you meant, did you train? Because you were talking about my pecs. So I thought we were back on that. Yeah, I went to three years at Guildford.
Okay, there we go. We'll get back to your pecs, by the way.
And then, I didn't, really successful. I just couldn't get in the door, couldn't get any auditions for anything. But then Shrek the Musical came, and obviously they wanted some curvy people, and there I was waving that freak flag, as they call it, from the show. And and then I was actually playing the role of Shrek, and the writer was over from America, and she said, after I'd performed, I think you'd be a lot more successful if you lost weight. And at first I thought, cheeky. Do you know what I mean? And then the next morning I woke up and I started running. And I've never missed a day of training since.
It's like Forrest Gump.
Yeah, I've never missed. I will. It's And it has had its bad effects, you know, I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, even when I was playing Fiero, you know, when trying to jump into those tights every day and try and feel you're holding that six pack. And, you know, when there's people coming out of drama school who are just naturally with those six packs, and it takes a lot for me to train. It takes, you know, a hard graft. That is hard. But I always say, you know, look at the people in the films and stuff like that. They train really, really hard because they want to work. They want to do those films. And at this moment, like I say, I want to work. So I want to be in the best shape of my life. I want to give it 160%. And then when it comes to that point where no one wants to hear me sing or no one wants to see the hair flicks, then maybe I can have a few more cheese toasties.
Well, listen, I think I want to... I don't know if it's a word, is like defend what that producer said to you. Because I had a producer say to me, is what got me into shape too, obviously. But I didn't have the weight discrepancy that you went to, and the mental fortitude. And also, we'll touch on it some more when you say the bad effects of that too. Because I know what it's like. The more in shape I got, the less secure I got about myself. Of course, I consider to do a fitness shoot, post on Instagram. Yeah. But that's all for show. But inside my head, I'm looking at that with a fine tooth comb, where I never used to do that.
It's terrible.
And I don't think she was saying, because of your size, you'll never work. Because this industry,
thankfully,
celebrates all shapes
and sizes. Which is great now.
But I think you specifically, the way you look, the way you carry yourself.
Yeah.
You're not a character actor. You're leading.
And I think that was
what they call conventional leading.
Yeah. And I see that a lot in the social kind of world at the moment, of, you know, people kind of saying, why can't I do this if I was slightly overweight? And I understand that side of the industry. I really do. And I think, like you say, I think you hit the nail on the head that I think she saw something that, you know, and she wasn't saying, you are fat, lose weight. It was just kind of thinking, this is another thing. And I could have just gone, nah. But after 5 years of not working and then having this kind of, you know, you know, to stand there as Shrek on Drury Lane, and I kind of go, oh, maybe I need to change something of myself. You know, it's not all just singing every day and practicing every day. Maybe, unfortunately for me, it is my aesthetics. And I did that, and then things that I've always wanted to even be considered for started to happen. And then, you know, a couple of years down the line, 5 years down the line, then it's Les Mis, and I'm like, wow, there's my goal, there's my dream. And I'm going to grab it with both hands. And
yeah, that's amazing. And it's hard when we talk about weight, especially when I do post fitness stuff, and that's because it's my passion. It's not necessarily me going, this is what you should do.
Yeah.
You know, but I will always advocate,
have
a healthy heart more than anything.
Yeah.
Be happy in yourself.
Yeah.
The aesthetics part, it's neither here or there, you know. Yeah. For you and I, with what we want to do, the roles we go for, it seems to be leaning that way.
Yeah.
So we put in the extra effort. Me, I'm trying to stay as young as I can now.
Exactly.
I got how many years on you? 10?
How old are you? You don't want to say.
How young are you?
I'm 34.
Okay. At least it's not a decade. It's almost, though.
Yeah.
Am I 43? I think I'm 43. I'm 43.
Well, I mean, you look fantastic.
Thank you, darling.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
So let's talk about, that was very important because I think some people will relate to that. So you lost the weight, but then you're struggling with it somewhat, probably more because...
Oh, I struggle
with it. I bet you were probably slightly more accepting of what you how you were, if the size you were?
When I was a bigger guy,
you probably had more swagger.
A lot of people said, you know, I miss Fat Brad sometimes, you know, and I'm not going to lie. That's the honest truth, because I did have no inhibitions. I would, you know, I'd take my top off, run around. I was a bit more carefree and, you know, alcohol and partying and stuff. But again, there's that difference as well. I think not the more successful, because I don't think that's a thing from being, like I say, being ensemble to being a leader. I don't think there's any more success in that. I just think that that's just the role that someone's asked you to play, you know. But it's, you then take a, I don't know, there's, your standards change. So when I was an understudy, I would look at the people playing the roles and I'd be like, I want your job. I want your job so bad, and I'm gonna get it. That wasn't to say that they were bad at their jobs, but I was just hungry. And so now, when I'm playing a role, I want to make sure that I never let myself down, so that no one can kind of go, I want your job and you don't deserve it. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like, because I was that person, and I won't lie about that. I would look, if there was mucking about or from the person that I was covering, I'd be like, I want that so bad, and you don't cherish it. And so now it's at that point where I'm like, I just want to make sure that I cherish it every day, and I work really, really hard, so that hopefully then when the understudies come up and take that role, then they love it just as much. And then I think that also helps shows stay alive. Do you know what I mean? You know,
100%.
And I think you learn, you know, I always say that there is a guy called, I don't know if you know him, Peter Lockyer.
Of him, I don't think we met.
Okay, so he was the Jean Valjean when I first arrived, and he just ingrained so much in me, and I was just kind of like, wow. And he had been Marius for like 6 years in Broadway, and then now he was Valjean, and I was just like, wow, you know, you're working, your wife is with you, you're having a lovely time, and that's a dream, isn't it? You know, to do the thing that you love, and then also your family are safe and happy. And you know, you see so many people in their jobs and they're not happy, then why do it? Like you only get one life, and I want to make sure that I just really have a good time doing it. And so I just focus all my energy. I'm very kind of military like that, which sometimes is bad. And, you know, I hold my hands up about it. I can be quite tunnel visioned, but
there is that saying, you know, there's discipline equals freedom. You
yeah.
know? You're doing what you want to do now because of that discipline.
Yeah.
And that's for your path and your choices.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
And I think people can, what they can take from that is, when you had a goal, what you did to get that goal.
Yeah.
Now everyone can relate that to themselves and
exactly.
their own.
Exactly. And everyone has their own challenges and own demons that they have to kind of get over, and it only makes you a stronger person.
So how do you, what's your diet like now? Do you, when you say you party the alcohol?
Yeah.
You weren't, and I don't mean to be.
You can be honest.
Sensitive. You weren't. It's not. You didn't. Weren't an alcoholic. You're just.
No,
partying.
No, no. I just.
Right. So you can. Know. You can still have a drink now if you
yeah,
want.
Yeah, but I just tend not to. Again, I think it's. I do if it's like a weekend or something like that.
Yeah.
But again, I don't want to let my standards down, because if I got on stage and I did a duff note, that's because I had a drink the night before, and that would really annoy me that someone's paid £150.
Do you never hit a duff note then?
Oh, I do.
Okay.
I don't want it to be out of,
yes,
because of the choices that I've
made.
Out
of being a human,
yeah,
that's one thing.
Yes. Yeah, if it's out of me being human or I'm tired or something like that, that's fine. Okay. But if it's because I was out till 4 o'clock the night before getting drunk, then I'm like, well, yeah. I've got myself to blame, and the understudy should have been on, and no wonder he's
well, we have a
me.
Sense of responsibility,
yeah.
You know? And that's part of the gig when you sign up for 8 shows
absolutely.
A week, and I think it's amazing. It's exactly of all shapes and sizes,
absolutely.
But it's an athletic
yeah.
task and
yeah.
ask, you know. But I think that's amazing. Your morals, your standards, your ethics. Where did that get ingrained from? As a kid, where'd you grow up?
Brighton.
Nice, man.
Yeah.
By the sea.
Yeah, it was really, really good. I mean, all my family are still there. All my best mates are still there. And we've only just recently moved from there, actually, literally like 6 months ago.
I heard, yeah.
So
you're nearer to my neck of the woods.
Yeah, well, we're Cambridgeshire now, so.
That's so close to me.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Get really? Another Harley. I'm about to sell mine, though.
Oh, I'll buy yours.
Do you want a Harley? Okay.
But yeah, so to go from being in the sea, you know, around that area, it's been quite crazy to move to the country. But again, there's different goals, you know. Hopefully in a few years, me and my fiance might have children, and we've got two dogs now. So the country life is a lot better for all of us, and we're a lot closer to her family because she's from St. Helens. So, lovely. You know, it's kind of equidistant from Brighton and Liverpool. So it's really lovely. And it's our home rather than my home. And, you know, so it's really, really nice.
You gone punting yet?
No, we haven't. No, not yet. Not yet.
It's hard.
I can imagine. I can imagine.
I did that before. I went character research.
Yeah.
When I took Phantom, I thought, let's just go see what punting's like. It's that. Not like you see it. That's why I tried to do it. But, you know, the punt on stage is so thin. But then I was like, this is hard ass work.
Yeah.
And the amount of times my punt got stuck in, so the ball kept going, I was like, shit, so we got to go back and get it.
Yeah.
So how is it going now with the run? You guys are fully open. You're doing eight shows a week again?
We're doing seven shows at the moment, yeah. I think because they were just, I think Cameron and his team were just kind of testing the waters to see if the audience are there. You know, to see if they are. I mean, we're...
How much do you love doing seven, though?
Do you know what? I really do, but it does feel slightly kind of... You're on tenterhooks because you're like, where's... I feel like I should be in doing another show, but it is
lovely.
Let
me ask the Valjean. How is it nice doing seven?
He's loving it.
Yeah.
He's loving it. You know, John is superb. He's an incredible leading man, and he's just...
He's another easygoing guy, man.
He's just wonderful to work with.
Well, from what I remember, you know, like, he's just laid back.
He really, really is.
And no drama.
No, there's not. And he's just all about good morale for the company, and you know, and
he's a good person.
He is a wonderful person, and what's really nice, I didn't know him prior to this, and my fiance is in Hamilton now, and you know, obviously he was in that and other shows since that. If you ever mention his name, everyone just says, oh, he's a really nice man, and that truly is what he is. He's a lovely leading man. He's, you know,
great. Perfect for Valjean.
He's perfect for Valjean, yeah. And, you know, it's just wonderful to be with someone that's that passionate as well. You know, I think it's always difficult, you know, you can say as well, if you're honest, you know, when you're working with someone that's probably not as passionate maybe as what you are. There's, mm-hmm. That's difficult because, you know, you can sometimes collide a little bit. But John's equally as, you know, passionate about the show as I am. And and that's incredible. I'm rare. And things are right with you?
Yeah, it's not about me, Bradley. Oh, okay, it's about you.
Sorry, no, it's the hang-up.
Everything is great. You know, I'm very... You know, I'm still finding it hard to get excited about things. That's why, like, on paper...
Yeah.
Yes, everything's incredible. The next, I don't know, 20 months is so diverse and so many things going in. I'm so lucky to have a schedule that's so booked up. But now, I'm like, it could all change... In a blink of eye.
And
so
it does,
every time, like, people say, are you excited about Funny Girl? I said, I'll tell you after I take my first bow.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that was offered 2 years ago.
Wow.
That thing has been going on and on. That's why it got to the point where I'm like, well, I hope it happens. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah,
you know. So it's just a matter of, but like you say, there is more to life, and I'm trying to diversify my efforts as well, because at the end of the day, like yourself, the only thing that's important to me is putting a roof over their heads.
Yeah.
Making sure my little squatters that are my boys.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get food on the table, you know. Yeah. And just keep, at any moment there's something to do, even just doing this now, this podcast with you, I was so excited about doing this.
Yeah, me too.
Where before, like, I remember when I would set up podcasts and be over Zoom or, you know, remotely, it felt like a chore.
Mm.
Because I wanted to hang with those people. I wanted to see them in person. And I'm glad they were still received well, but it's all about community. It's all about connection. And I miss that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about your training program. What's going on?
Well, I mean...
So you said Josh
DaCosta, yeah.
Another drop for Josh DaCosta.
Yeah, another drop for him. He's in Tina Turner, the musical. So he's an actor.
Too.
Yeah, he's a performer. He's actually a new dad. So
congratulations.
Yeah, he's a new dad, and his partner was actually in the show with me in Les Mis, the concert, and the older production. And I just kind of reached out to him because.
So he's a PT.
Yeah, he's a PT. He's got his own company that he's kind of built from literally ground up, and now he has a plethora of performers and stage people. And
what's the company called? Let's give him a plug.
I think it's literally called Josh Da Costa Fitness, but he also has like a side one, Daddy Fitness. We'll get back to it so I can...
Gets one plug.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, Josh. Sorry. but yeah, and he's just been really great for me mentally because, you know, I won't lie. I think when you are ignorant about your training and ignorant about fitness, I mean, I was always into nutrition and I could did lots of courses on it, and I even did, you know, what is it called, a diploma on my nutrition. And
did you?
Yeah, just because I wanted to know as much about it as I possibly could. But sometimes it's not easy to practice what you preach, you know. And I was training so hard every single day, but yet starving myself. You know, that's the, if you, you know, being blunt as you can be honest about it, you know, I was not eating what I should be, and I was tired, but I was just kind of like, nope, I've got this six pack and this is not going, and let's keep busting my balls, you know. Yeah. And it got to a point where it was having effects on me and having effects on my partner, and that's when you kind of go, right, I need to take this out of my hands and I need to seek advice. And he has a wealth of knowledge that was able to kind of say, this is your maintenance calories. Yeah. This is your gaining calories. This is if you want to get a bit more, you know, a bit more muscle on yourself. This is if you want to get shredded. So we've done lots of different things. I've been with him for 2 years. Originally, the reason I went with him actually is because I wanted to look as best as I could when I proposed to my fiance. So I had like a kind of end goal that...
Were you shirtless for this?
No, I wasn't. I just wanted to feel like... really strong and handsome and feel really good about asking her to be my wife, do you know?
Ultimately, you want to feel your best self.
Yeah, I just really wanted to feel strong and not weak, and, you know, and he was
Were
able,
you going to lift her?
No, I had nothing to
Marry
do with...
Me!
Yeah, it was nothing about that at all. I just wanted to feel lovely in a suit and feel
mate,
smart about it, do you
you're
know what I mean?
Beautiful guy. Come on.
And so, yeah, that was
How
my...
selfless. You got, like, the best shape of your life for someone else
well,
for a moment.
It's the truth, yeah. It's the absolute truth. And so I did that, and then we worked on like a maintenance way, and then obviously while I was playing Andreas, I was trying to be just a little bit smaller and a bit leaner, and now obviously playing Javert, I'm trying to, which I find extremely difficult. I find extremely difficult to put myself in like a surplus because
it's a mental thing.
Mentally, that's really difficult for me.
Yeah.
Which I struggle with, and Josh is absolutely incredible with, because for me, if someone said you have to eat a lot more calories but still train, if you then start to lose what you've had for so long, you then feel like you're gonna lose your jobs, lose your partner, lose your, you know, all these kind of wealth.
Well,
of,
this is something specific to your
narrative. Yeah, this is me, and this shows my insecurities.
Like this is heavy. Like this, I feel sad for you when you.
Yeah.
This is going through your
mind.
But
that's why I reached out to Josh, and he's been really great to be able to kind of like, do this, do that, this is what you got to eat today. And I'm like, okay, cool. And I feel like it's almost out of my hands, and then I have that energy to put into the show.
See, that's crazy, because most people, like when they go into surplus, like for me, I guess my only thing would be like, I'm going to lose abs to gain, then you shred again.
Yeah, but I
don't start going, I'm going to lose my job, I'm going to lose my
fiance.
Yeah,
but I think that's where it's come from, where I've said, you know, when you go from Shrek, where you've not had any kind of career, to losing weight, to then having this career, to then finding this absolute rocket of a fiance, you're like, wow, you know, what is my life, you know, and it feels like, did that come from having six pack?
No.
How ignorant.
It came from
your
heart.
But of course, but there's that, you, it always comes from some sort of root, doesn't it? And so, like I say, Josh, I kind of reached out to Josh. I don't go to the gym. I don't pay any fees to go to a gym. So the fees that I would pay to go to a gym, I'd pay for a guy to...
You have a home gym set up?
Yeah.
What'd you call it, your shed?
I call it the Shred Shed.
The Shred Shed. Go on.
And it's literally a garden shed. But if you go inside, it's like Jenga. You know, Tetris. You know, Tetris. Like,
move stuff around.
Open it up, and then it's got full squat, you know, pull-up bars.
How big's your shed?
It's honestly no bigger than this table.
Get the fuck out of here. How do you get a squat rack in there?
It's like folded up.
It's a folded one.
Yeah, and I put it all, take it all out, put it all together. And, you know, it's, I've got, what else? I've got, my favorite thing is Echo Bike.
Yeah.
Got one of those.
Never gets easy, man.
Never gets easy, but I love it.
I just want to, and because I'm not a therapist, but I care about you. Is only Josh? He's helping you mitigate the connection between. You're not going to lose your life if you lose.
Yeah, and yeah. No, he's been fantastic.
That's important because
he's been wonderful. That's it. Sometimes I think, you know, nowadays you can go to therapy, you can go to other people, but you sometimes are never able to kind of understand, especially in our industry, we put so much pressure on ourselves to be.
That is true.
That's it. And sometimes you actually just need to kind of go, I just need a bit of advice. And he's been incredible. And he's been so, so wonderful for me for the last few years. So I've utmost respect for him, and to be a dad and to be doing his self-training, and as well as also being in the theater, it's inspiring to be with a trainer like that, because, you know, you see, especially on social media, all these fad diets, all these quick 90 second diets, and then you've got a six pack and you're like, oh wow, okay, you know. So it's he teaches you the right way so that you can live a really good lifestyle, especially in the times like this. You know, so many people, do you eat after the show? Do you eat before the show? In between shows when it's matinee? So, you know, he puts that all easy plans. You ready?
And do you count calories?
Are I
you
do,
doing
yeah.
that? Yeah, obviously. Yeah. So you're in a surplus now?
I'm in a very small surplus at the moment, yeah. Well, we've just gone through a different phase.
You know I'm not going to leave you.
Hey.
I'm going to be your mate. I'm there, surplus or not, mate.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, everyone's probably thinking, what is going on here? What's all this surplus and this, like, intake? Yeah.
So how long, what's going on with Javert? What's the contract, the
length now? So I'm in it till September next year.
Wow.
Yeah, so we all, I think everyone, from what I know, from the concert, kind of from the show, was offered a 12-month contract, which I think after the 18 months that we've had, and, you know, what Cameron has done, especially for Les Mis throughout the pandemic, you know, it was a no-brainer to kind of, you know, and I owe Cameron a lot. You know, he's given me some of the best moments in my life and my career. So, of course, as soon as I said, do you want to do this? I was like, without a shadow of a doubt, you know, let's do it and let's have fun and then move on to
exciting things. I can say the same things because he's given me some of my best moments too. So I understand what you're saying. Although when he came to me for Valjean, he didn't say, do you want to do this? He said, I come for my pound of flesh, darling. I said, what the fuck are you talking about?
Play Jean Valjean. I was like, no.
But that's a whole different story.
I want to hear it.
For someone who didn't have, someone who's achieved their aspirations, you were ensemble in Les Mis.
Yeah.
Which is super fun.
Amazing.
Do you see things for yourself post-Javert?
Do you know what? It's really difficult. And you know,
and I don't want you to think 12 months ahead. You still got this beautiful journey
ahead of you.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, I'm really enjoying this, and this is my priority, and this is what I'm thinking about. But equally, I know, you know, we've actually got the same agent, Alex. Great.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. And you know, and I often speak to her and say, "What do I do? Where am I going? What?" And it's obviously, you know, but because I have acquired that goal of being in Les Mis. I need to create a new goal, of course. You know, it's always great to have new goals and new aspirations, but I don't know what that is. And that's, I'm in equal measures excited and nervous about the journey ahead, but I haven't had that for a long time. So, you know, and, you know, after this year, then I'm really excited to kind of just get out there and see what I can do, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe they might bring Vikings back and I can be up for it. But they would finish that.
Wouldn't that be fun to do? But I got to get nipple length.
Yeah,
still.
You got to get nipple
length. Get it down to the nipple.
Yeah, maybe we could just create our own musical about it, about Vikings. I don't think it could be just a two-hander.
We should start. Let's work on Camelot first.
Okay.
How are you feeling about that?
I'm buzzed.
Because you're singing probably my favorite theater song. It's the most beautiful song.
Oh, there's no pressure then.
If ever I would leave you, it's stunning.
Yeah, I'm. As soon as, again, Alex kind of gave me that call and said, do you want to do it? I said, okay, me? You sure? You know, when I heard about yourself and Lucy St. Louis, I was kind of like, are you sure? Okay, yeah, absolutely. The only hesitation was like, more of them, are they sure about asking me? But yeah, I just couldn't wait. Couldn't wait. It's just an old classic that... Well, I love classic musical theatre.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I feel like there's a nice window for that we don't have much right now.
We don't. You're right.
But I don't know more. I haven't done a deep dive into the show
Not yet, no. I've listened to the album a lot just to kind of... And also, like you said, like we touched on earlier, because we are, you know, athletes, as it were, your voice, where's my voice at the moment? I've had to go from Andras being, you know, the high baritone to then shove it in its boots. So I'm having to just gently already just to make sure that my voice is kind of up there for that, just starting to make sure that it's kind of prepared for it, you know? So it's exciting. I'm looking forward to that.
Are you one of those who wakes up and you do a voice check right away?
My partner would say yes.
Does it go with the part? Like every time as Valjean, I wake up, I go, I open my eyes and just go, home. Okay, we're fine.
Did you?
It would always go, as Phantom, be like, so. Anastasia wasn't so much because it wasn't as taxing.
I mean, the people, especially in the show, would definitely say that I'd walk around the theater kind of like, just making sure that it's really, you know, down there. Do you know what I mean? I don't think there's necessarily a note. It's just more of like a.
Just to get that.
Well, John. Yeah, get it in there. Yeah, because that I would tell you is such a funny note because it's there, but it's one of those ones that people know. They listen to it. They're waiting for that.
Oh, for a chain?
Yeah.
Chain.
Yeah.
I don't know how to. Yeah, how low is it?
I don't really
go for it. Come on, do it. Oh, no, I'm joking.
I was actually good. I was like, really?
Okay. Oh, I do it.
I don't think I figure. Okay, chain.
Before you say another word, we got to round off at some point. Yeah, that, man.
I would love that.
Maybe during camo rehearsals on lunch break. We'll have to.
Okay, fun. We're up for it. It's a lot more vicious the fight now. So
it's with the chains. I did that version.
New York. Yeah, but your version was a little bit. So we changed it again. This wasn't as...
I don't think you saw my version.
Oh, yeah, we did.
I got the video.
We watched the videos many a time. And we were like, right, let's amp this up a bit. You're like, really? Oh, no, I need to see it.
You wait, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be like, that's not how we did it. But that chain, I remember when we first started doing it, I'm like, that's a real chain.
Yeah, it's a real chain.
It hurts.
Yeah.
At least 3 out of the 7 that I did... I'd be getting knuckled or something. I'd be, God's sake, man.
Yeah, it was, I think, you know, they're definitely, I mean, we're very lucky now. I'm not sure if they had this, I think it's like a new thing, but we've now got a fight captain. And
yeah, we have been.
So, you know, we do go through all the fights with, you know, kind of a fine tooth comb just to make sure that everything is, because, you know, when it is a heavy, heavy chain, and if that, and I'm not, and, you know, you want it to be as realistic as it possibly can be. So you are swinging quite hard. And if that did hit your head, you would
100%.
So it is quite daunting, but at the same time, you kind of come off. Me and John always have like a hug just afterwards, like, oh, phew.
You got all your eyes?
Yeah.
You got all your fingers?
You okay? Yeah, we're okay, fine.
It's like, bleeding?
You're sorry about that? Sorry about that. It's okay. It's okay, but at the
that
time.
That was an accident,
yeah,
right?
But at the time,
big time.
Because you know what it's like, you get on there and you're like, I detest this man. And he looks back at you and you're like, I hate you. And you're like, I'm so up for this fight. And then at the end, you're like giving each other a little cuddle and, you know, we walk up like best friends up the stairs. So, it's brilliant, like I said.
It's great to have that relationship with your best
friend. It really is.
Vice versa. It's just, it makes, and I've been blessed as well. You know, I had Hadley, Earl, Will.
Legends.
It's just so much fun. And they all had their own personalities and charisma in the part. And I can totally see that with you as well. And I'm slightly envious of John, but he's in the right place and he deserves to be there. And I think I can't wait to see you guys square off.
Yeah.
You're going to have a great 12 months.
I'm really excited about it. Really excited about it. I think not only as actors do we deserve it, but I think the audience and everyone involved, they want it so badly. And
it's
you
part
can,
of the culture. It's part of who they are as well. They love, that's part of their, what they want to do. They want to go to the theater. They want to,
they really do
forget about things for 3 hours.
Yeah. And it is nice just to see that. Even, you know, before there was that kind of moment, you saw lots of phones in the audience. Do you know what I mean? Like you could see that light where people were like, they're taking it for a bit more granted. Now it's very, it's actually quite rare to see a phone, and you're like, thank God.
Yes.
Like, people are really invested in, and actually watching what we're doing, because they can just put down their phones for once and just immerse themselves.
And it makes a world of a difference. And I've got, obviously, very fortunate, I've experienced over in the Far East where nobody takes their phone out.
Yeah.
And it makes for a better show. It makes for a more communal feel because now we're all in this together.
Yeah.
There's not one person like cutting the circuit, you know what I mean? And every time someone takes out a phone, the circuit's cut.
Of course it is, because then it doesn't involve just the people on stage. It involves the 10, 20 people around that person who are like, oh God, they're on their phone, and you know, and then they've missed what's going on, and you know, like you say, it has such a chain reaction. Then the other people think, oh, I can do it as well. Do you know what I mean? On the slide. And so it's nice that people are having just not even respect. It's just a bit more kind of like, let's just put that away and let's just have fun and watch theatre again. And it's lovely. I actually went to see my fiance in Hamilton, and I was you know, behind the tears and stuff. I was just in awe of just the company and the whole, I'd never seen that show. So I was just like, wow, this is amazing. And I've just had those 3 hours just flew by. It's just lovely just to put your phone away and just watch this talent just hit you in the face. It was great.
I love how you speak about her. I love your heart, your soul. And I hope, brother, I want to encourage you that your spirit, your heart, your just the, who you are, no amount of apps will equate to that. You are more than all that. So, you know, all that's just what you want to do and keep you, whatever you need to do to stay happy. But I just hope you know that you, the person, Bradley, are a great dude.
Thank you.
And for someone who's introverted, I could see, I can't believe the hours is gone.
I know, it's absolutely flowed, yeah.
We'll do this again. And absolutely. I want to hang more. You're around the corner. Let's go punting together.
Let's do it.
Shall we do that?
Let's do it.
Real quick, what made you smile today?
I took my two dogs for a walk with my fiance, and we held hands and kind of, in the countryside, it was really lovely.
You're a beautiful guy. And can you give me a childhood memory that makes you smile that comes to your head right away?
Oh my goodness. Do you know what? I actually say this to my fiance. I have a real bad childhood memory of, no, not childhood, of like looking back at when I was young, kind of going, oh, that's a really good memory. Or I don't really remember when I was younger. Is that weird?
No, I have terrible memory, so I can't remember.
Yeah, so sometimes
much.
I don't always, I can't even think of anything that was, like, how young are we talking? I mean,
was whatever came to your head?
When I was 18. nothing even came to my head then. That's terrible, isn't it? Now I'm on the spot. I'm panicking. I'm sweating.
Well, tell me this, and let's not dive into childhood memory, because it might be...
No, it's not. I was just actually thinking, what have I done when I was a child?
Do you never remember going to the Brighton Beach?
Yeah, I mean, I
the
do.
Pier?
Yeah.
Having one of those sugary donuts?
I actually just as soon as you said that, I was thinking about when me and my friends were about, 15 or something, and every Friday night after school, we used to go down to play football on the bowling greens, even though we knew it was illegal.
Why the fuck didn't you say that?
Well, because I just thought, it's illegal. But it was
great.
But it was fun. We were courteous. We took our shoes off. We used to play in socks, and it was so much fun.
And very quick, what's with the knuckle ink?
Well, it's because, if I'm being really honest, I'm obsessed with tattoos. And I know that in our industry, sometimes people go, oh, you won't work if you've got tattoos, and even though I'm looking at yourself. And I never know exactly what to have, whereas on my hands.
You might as well put it on your hands.
Yeah. It's really weird, but I always feel like as well, when your body changes, tattoos change and change their shape. The ink changes, moves,
Does it?
Of course, if you lose weight.
I'm joking. I'm worried about me as the years get older.
Yeah, so I like it on my hands, because I wear lots of rings and stuff, and then I haven't got to ever kind of go, do-do-do, shove it, shoulder.
Which is exactly what I have to do. Brother, love you, man. I'm glad we did this.
Me too. Thank you very much for having me.
You've been listening to The Hang. I am Ramin Karimloo. The Hang is produced by Mercy Productions and Desert Highway and recorded at Soho Live Studios. Check out my new app. Go to ramin.fan.direct, where you can find brand new content, giveaways, and exclusive news. Thanks for listening.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.